is oh good. The information I have is that the technology doesn't support a meeting in the Siskiyou room at this time. So we'll see. There, he can tell us more. Good morning, Stanley. One,
Good
two,
morning.
three, four, five. I think we have a quorum. One of us is traveling, so I'd like to call the meeting to order. I would like to know if there are any additions to the minutes. Excuse me, to the agenda. All right. And I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I move
So
to approve.
moved.
I second.
Are there any modifications or questions? All right, the minutes are approved as provided. Are there members of the public who would like to join us? Said I ask Aaron or Johanna?
Johanna, go ahead.
It doesn't look like there's anyone here, so we are all good.
Okay, well, we'll move forward then. Let's see, I'm looking for our liaison to the council or parks. So, Aaron, would you like to talk from the community development?
Yeah, I'd go ahead and take it just briefly, mainly for the purpose of introducing Johanna as formally taking over as staff liaison. But I did want to take this opportunity to, I was thinking about it this morning, that I've been staffing this commission for just about 3 years now. And I've worked with, I believe, four different chairs and have seen most of the commission turn over. I've really enjoyed this. I'm really glad that we got the hub sculpture installed. That was a nice way to put a cap on this. And I know Johanna is going to do a great job staffing you, and I will be here in the background to support her in any way that I can. From a community development standpoint, I don't really have anything of substance to report, except for the fact that we do have the funding request authorized for the slab, the informative graphic, and the additional monies for the artist. So that's been taken care of. Other than that, I would hand it over to Johanna, and I'm here to help in any way I can.
Excellent. Before we do that, I think we want to all of us acknowledge your wonderful support, Aaron, your responsiveness and your contributions to public art over the years. We'll say hear, hear. And thank you so much. We wish you well in your new assignment. I'm sure it won't be as good as this one. Johanna, did you have other things to add?
I just want to say thank you for letting me be here. I'm excited to be able to work with you all and continue connecting to all of you and, getting the support from Aaron as well as everyone else here. So I don't have anything to add from the community development standpoint right now.
All right. So we'll see if Council Liaison Stevenger comes, and similarly with Jim Lewis from the Parks and Rec District. At this point, I will entertain a motion to the following effect. At the first meeting of the Public Arts Commission and the new commission year, it's fitting that we recognize the outstanding leadership of PAC's immediate past chair, Jennifer Longshore. In Jennifer's second time on the Public Arts Commission and as chair for the past year, you have demonstrated passion for public art, commitment to volunteer service. You've led with insight, informed direction, thoughtful selection of agendas, and collegial inclusion of all. Commission expresses its deep respect, profound appreciation, and great admiration for Jennifer this 20th day of May 2022, and our best wishes for the year ahead. Is there a motion? Is there a second to that motion? Cassie seconds, Joel seconds. I think you have a unanimous session. All in favor, say aye. Hear, hear.
Aye.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It will
thank
be...
you, Jennifer. Thank we you. Will miss you enormously.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. Our commendations are richly, richly deserved. And it will be important for us to follow in your collegial style, and I will certainly attempt to do that and maintain the high standards you have set. Well, thank you. Also, we need to, next item, move to nominations for a vice chair. Stanley has agreed or expressed interest in being in this role. Are there further nominations? Is there a motion to close nominations? Joel says second. All right. And all in favor of closing nominations and electing Stanley. Excellent. Stanley, thank you so much. Your institutional knowledge is vast and will be very important as we move forward. So we appreciate that.
Looking forward to it.
Excellent. I put the next item on the agenda, which is the vandalism of public art. I'd like to open the floor to some commissioner responses, but I wanted to make just a brief statement. I note that there have been at least three acts of vandalism in public art targeting people of color. Most recently, the Golden Connections sculpture, as those of you who were there will remember. This recognized, among the other elements of that wonderful sculpture, the recognition of the Chinese laborers. And this was preceded by a similar defacing of the BIPOC mural at the high school. And before that, the destruction of the say their names shirts and signs in a response to the killing of George Floyd. From my point of view, these are acts of hate speech. And that does exist within our community. But each such event, I believe, gives us an opportunity to publicly confront these and to express our American and national values. I think most of you may know that the City Council committed to the values of inclusion and the condemnation of hate speech in a position statement in 2016. And I know the current council is concerned and committed to these same values. I believe our response is one, the unity of our community, caring for the sum of us all, recognizing that these acts are based in deep irrational fear in the minds of perpetrators, and that there is the need for education around our values that are essentially going for equal opportunity for all and that all are equally valued. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to confront these. Any other comments?
I would like to just add one comment. And Ken, you and I have had this conversation once before that I was at the Say Their Names Memorial the day that it was taken down, the day after it was taken down in the middle of the night. And I was very disappointed at how many people walked by and said, oh, those people must have come from the next town over. I mean, over and over and over again, people walked by and said, oh, those people from, and I could just name off all the towns that they accused that, oh, those people. And so I appreciate you so much, Ken, because I think what's so important is what you just named, and that is that there is racism in Ashland. And these hate crimes, this hate speech, as you called it, is happening here in this community. And one of the things that we must do is acknowledge that and own that and then move forward with that in the forefront. So I just appreciate your statement. And I just want to add to that, that it's important we say out loud to folks, no, this is happening in Ashland. This is Ashland. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah. As far as tagging goes, it's never going to stop. It's always going to be out there. You know, when it's hateful and hate speech and things like that, that's one thing. It's been widely acknowledged in the art world that some tagging is actually art. In fact, I just read yesterday the Getty Museum hired a new curator of African American art, and his specialty is preserving and documenting wall art and graffiti art in New York City. That's where he came from. So I'm not trying to justify the tagging, especially on these sculptures, but it's a thing. People do it. They do it with passion. Some of them do it very artistically. But it's never going to completely go away. It just is not. So we need to be prepared for and have a budget for graffiti removal and make sure that when we approve a sculpture, that the materials used are cleanable in some way. So that's it.
I'm a guest, so I don't know if I should say anything.
Please jump in, Julie.
Okay. I completely agree that it's just going to happen. You know, I've had people go, oh, maybe we shouldn't do public art. No, absolutely. Our response is to do more, louder, prouder, better. And then as things happen, as Stanley points out, clean it up, carry on, you know, because it isn't going to stop. And sometimes it's mean-spirited, as we witnessed with Golden Connections and the mural at the high school. And sometimes it's an accident, like, you know, playing on the glass ball, which is sort of, in a way, I know there were a lot of folks upset about it. And of course, it's expensive to replace. But I thought, well, the very purpose of the glass ball was that it was playful. And somebody understood that and played, you know. So it's just, it happens when you put something in public and people have a chance to respond to it. Everyone on this commission, as a result of being on this commission, is public facing. So even, you know, those of us who are public facing don't have actual physical graffiti put on us, but we have verbal graffiti just by being in existence and being here in front of folks. And it's just what goes with it. But it doesn't stop us from doing what we do and being proud of our community and expressing our innermost playfulness and remorse and grief and joy. It just adds to our need for it, in my view. So
thank you very much. And Stanley, thank you. We certainly recognize that tagging is a fact of life, but I do think that these particular events give us a chance to both say to the people that are perpetrators, you're on a pathway that's not going to lead to a good life, especially if you're young people, and to call out what amounts to hate speech. Any other thoughts here? Yeah, Jennifer.
I appreciate that you're bringing this forward. These are all acts of racism, these three. And we need to acknowledge that, and perhaps through the Equity Commission and discussions within Ashland, this is a teaching moment. And
exactly.
We can't assume this is a youthful person. We don't know who this is, but it is targeting. I agree with Mayor Akins that we do need to continue to celebrate public art and continue to, as Stanley said as well, make works and realize this is going to happen. But there is a difference between the ball and these other actions. And I'm happy that we're making a statement. I know that there has been a report that's gone forward, and I'm curious on how suspicious reports, because these are very similar, at least two of them, how does our commission work with that? So that's my question.
I think that's an ongoing question. As each opportunity to confront and call this out comes forward, perhaps Stanley, with your experience with the Getty and others, you can help tune us to the nuances of playfulness and just using a spray can and those that are mean-spirited, as the mayor says.
Yeah, it's not even a fine line. It's just, and I, you know, as somebody who studied it somewhat. In fact, when I was at Experience Music Project in Seattle, we had an entire exhibition of graffiti art, mostly centered around the hip hop culture and the emergence of hip hop. And some of those works are incredibly beautiful. Unfortunately, I haven't seen too many of those around here. It's mostly just tagging a name tag. But I'm not willing to say it should never be done, even though it's often against the law. It, you know, I mean, clearly some of these people, these graffiti artists, they are artists. They really are. And you know, I think that some of that stuff is worthy of celebration, but, you know, I don't really know where to always draw the line. Sorry. So anyway.
All right. Thanks. Thanks again. I appreciate all of these comments, and we'll continue to keep this issue to the forefront. Our next agenda item, moving on, is to have an overview of public art with an equity lens. This follows our last. Oh, sorry, Johan.
I was just making sure we come back around to voting for the PAC meeting format, which is at the top of the other business.
Yes, I'm sorry. I think I spoke to that before we actually began our meeting. I appreciate that. And the topic is, can we have in-person meetings? And can these be supported, and the preference of the commissioners? Did you want to speak to the technical capabilities for this?
So currently we won't be able to support hybrid meetings, but we will be able to do either all in person or all virtual. Those are our two options at this point.
All right. If we do in person, does that mean the public would join us online?
No, that would be a hybrid. Yeah.
Yes. All right. I will take a straw poll response here, but I think given the need for public presentation and input, I would suggest that we stay with Zoom at this point. Where to have the option, who would like to have in-person meetings? I would.
Yeah, it's really different to meet via Zoom. And before COVID, we had in-person meetings, and interested public would show up to the meeting, and they would be invited. They're in the meeting space. There's chairs for them. I would love to get back to meeting in person.
So I see four of us would like to do that. I'd like to suggest that we do this beginning in July, and especially for the reason that the Say Their Names people want to do a Zoom presentation, and they're scheduled for June. So keep it in mind, and we'll work with Johanna to see if we can be at Winburn. Is that right? In the Siskiyou room? That would be our meeting room. Yes, you're muted.
Sorry. Yes, I believe we would use the Siskiyou. And yeah, I'll continue looking into the hybrid options as they present themselves.
All right. Thank you so much, and appreciate that. And now let's move on to.
Real quick, oh, Ken, sure. I will not be able to attend in-person meetings very long. I can go for 20, 30 minutes because I have to work during these meetings, which I do right now. So I'll be able to swing by for a little bit, but I can't stay for 2 hours.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind and see what we can do to make accommodations.
Okay.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah.
And we'll need to hear from Destiny, who's traveling. All right. Any other comments on those topics? So let's proceed with Cassie's overview of public art with an equity lens. I believe this is a PowerPoint, and Cassie, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. While I pull this up, I will just say it was challenging to create a PowerPoint when there's so many activities I'd rather do with all of you in person. So it will be fun to be together. All right. So thank you for having me. I am Cassie Preskenis, and I use she, her pronouns. And this is a presentation that I created so we could discuss equity. And in that is power and privilege and how those apply to our equity lens as a public arts commission. If you have the capability to add your pronouns to your name, please do so. I am going to show you the agenda, which I will have to just admit 15 minutes is a very short period of time to try to talk about this enormous topic. So we will barely be grazing the surface of what I would like to discuss. And I'm going to start by talking for a minute about why a land acknowledgement is important. And in order to express that, I'm actually just going to read to you an excerpt from Grandma Aggie's book, Wake Up World. And I hope that from this story, you glean a little bit into why it's important to acknowledge those who have lived on this land before and still live here today. And this actually was also cited on Peter Finkel's website, Walk Ashland, in his article, We Are Here, Honors Native Americans, Part 1 of 3. I remember how hard it was when I was a child growing up, because in those times in Lincoln County, there were signs on restaurants in different places where Indians and dogs weren't allowed. And you know, I grew up from that era, but I am not bitter about it. What was is what was. I know I am limited. I can only change right now. I can't change anything about a minute ago, an hour ago, a week ago, or a year ago. So I know I am limited. So what I did is I forgave all that in my background of what happened to our people. The trail of tears that started here in Southern Oregon in 1856. They were all gathered up here, then run north. They lived here for over 22,000 years, and they actually felt that the Creator had given them this land. It was theirs eternally, forever and forever, as long as the grass grew and the water flowed. It was a hard time for my people in those times, you know, going up north in rough terrain and inclement weather. They were forced marched in stormy weather with just moccasins on their feet. They could take one thing, and most of them just carried food wrapped in what they could carry. So then their moccasins wore out, and the elders fell along the wayside. The young were taught to care for the elders, so they would run back and pick them up, and they were beaten. The guards told them that if they did that again, they'd just leave the elders by the wayside for the animals to eat. It was a terrible time for them, over 200 miles of this land going north and to trails where there was no trails. I can fathom how hard it was. And then, after all that journey, when they did get up to Siletz, the agent had used up a lot of the money. So there wasn't enough blankets to go around. There wasn't enough food, and many of them perished. It was awful. It's a wonder I sit here. So I just want to acknowledge that when we bring a land acknowledgement into the room, it's important that we recognize that there are still people here today that have descended from the tribes. There, as much as we are acknowledging the pain of the past, we are also acknowledging the existence of discrimination and the invisibilizing of these people. And so I want to read to you a brief land acknowledgement that was written by kindergarten teacher Tia McLean with the help of a parent who is Indigenous, Stephanie Stanton. And this is read at every Hellman Elementary School assembly before the assembly starts. So our children in our community hear this about once a month. The land we live on today is family to the Tequilma, Shasta, Latgawa, and Klamath people. This is the land of the first people. You who have always been, you who remain, we are your guests, uninvited on unceded land. We ask your forgiveness. We honor you. We thank you. We commit to doing right by you. May the land be acknowledged, May the first people be acknowledged. May the egregious actions of the colonizers be denounced. May your stories be lifted up, shared, remembered, and lived in our classrooms and beyond. May we learn from you and honor you in our thoughts, words, and actions. I love this drum circle that photograph really quick. It's Dan Wapapa there with many other folks, and they're drumming at, this is the dedication of the We Are Here sculpture here in Ashland, piece of our public art. So very quickly, I'm going to skim through this. When we engage in race conversations, and I think it's important to acknowledge that every conversation is a race conversation. Often those of us in white bodies don't have that experience explicitly, but it is true that every conversation is about race, whether we're aware of it or not. So these are agreements that have been put together by the Racial Equity Coalition that's now become Deconstructing Whiteness. If you want more information about them, I'm happy to share that with you. Obviously, in this forum, we are not maintaining confidentiality. This is a public meeting, but I do encourage you to use I statements, listen for understanding without debate, interruption, and crosstalk. Be open to new perspectives. I love this acronym, WAIT. Why aren't I talking, or why am I talking? Remember to speak appreciations, and to pass is always an option. This is a notice that was created specifically for white folks. Give BIPOC, BIPOC is Black Indigenous People of Color, the opportunity to speak first, embrace discomfort and feedback, receive the ouches of others. I might say something today that is offensive to you or hurts you that I'm unaware of. So acknowledge your oopses. Notice the difference between your intention and your impact, and then challenge insensitive comments of white peers. What is an equity lens? I chose this definition because I liked it the most. An equity lens is the process for analyzing. Oh, you're all in front of my screen here. So let's see, I can't move you over. The ongoing diagnosing the impact of the design and implementation of policies on underserved, marginalized individuals and groups, and to try to potentially eliminate barriers. Uh-oh, I tapped my screen. Let's see. There we go. Why is an equity lens important in Ashland Public Art? So BASE, our local organization BASE, shared this list with me that they've put together. These are all specific instances of racism here in Ashland. And since 2016, and I would encourage you to go back to this list later and look at it. White privilege, unpacking the knapsack. So the first time that the term white privilege was coined was in an article that was published in 1989 by Peggy McIntosh. And at the end of this PowerPoint, you can find a link to that if you're interested in exploring it more. In her article, I'm going to read you a little excerpt. She talks about our invisible and unearned advantages and unearned disadvantages. I quote, "I have come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets, which I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks." So there's an activity that I would love to really get into with you. We won't have time to really dive into this, but I'd like you to just hold this in your mind. In her article, she identifies 26 items that exemplify white privilege or instances. So if your name begins with an A through a J, like mine does, imagine you only start with $300. If your name begins with K through R, you start with $700. If your name begins with S through Z, you would start with $1,400. There are 26 items here identified as privilege. Which would you buy if each one cost $100? So in my case, I have $300 to spend. I get three of these privileges. We won't be able to read them all here because of our photos being on the side. Well, maybe I can minimize mine. So I hope you might go back to this list. Oopsie, sorry about that. I'm going to read you the four or five that jumped out for me. Number four, I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. Number seven, I can be sure that my children will be given curricular materials that testify to the existence of their race. 14, I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. 22. I can take a job with an affirmative action employer without having coworkers on the job suspect that I got the job because of my race. 24. I can be sure that if I need legal or medical help, my race will not work against me. Here's a visual of equity versus equality. We've talked a little bit about equal access, and I just want to make a distinction between equity and equality. So as you can see in number one, the definitions are a little blurry, so I'll read them to you. Inequality here is unequal access to opportunities. Number two, equality. You can see they have the same height ladders, and yet there are very few apples and they're out of reach for the child on the right. Equality, equally distributed tools and assistance. Equity, bottom left-hand corner, the ladder now is taller for the child on the right. Equity, custom tools that address and identify inequality. This is a deficit model that adjusts for individuals. Justice, number four box over there. You can see that they've propped up the tree. Now there are apples equally growing on both sides, fixing the system to offer equal access to both the tools and opportunity. So I just want to talk about what diversity and inclusion means. This is taken from the College of Environment in the University of Washington. I liked these definitions. Diversity is more than a word, more than an ideal, and more than the attainment of a particular quantifiable goal. Diversity is a realization of difference and of inequity and understanding of power and privilege. It is a balance by inclusion. It is balanced by inclusion, the desire to create equal opportunity and further realize that a diverse community is stronger, richer, and more sustainable than one which actively or passively excludes people who are different. Diversity and inclusion create excellence. I just want to go through quickly isms here. If you're not familiar with any of these words, they're all defined at the end of this PowerPoint, and there is never shame in making a mistake or not knowing a word or the meaning of something. That's why we're engaging in this conversation. So I do hope that you'll refer back to all the information in this later on as well. Going fairly quickly here. So this is a video that's actually showing this privilege walk that people do, which is very similar to the activity that I was referencing with the knapsack, 26 items. And in fact, a lot of the questions that these children are going to be asked are referring back to the 26 items that Peggy McIntosh wrote about in her article. I sped this up a little, so it's actually 3 minutes instead of four. And this was the most compelling video that I could find that represented this activity.
We are going to be running a race. However, your starting position in this race will be decided by the answers to questions that we are going to be asking you.
What? It's a joke.
This activity is intended to explore how society favors one race over others.
People often confuse white privilege with being wealthy or being rich, and it isn't about that. What it's about is the absence of having to live with the consequences of racism.
Now, if the question applies to you, you will take a big step forward. If the answer to the question doesn't apply to you, you stay where you are.
I'd better win, man.
Hey, make sure you're on the start line. I've seen some cheaters already.
Yeah.
Feet behind the line.
If English is your parents' first language, take a step forward.
Oh, yeah.
If you have ever been the only person in the room of your race, take a step backwards.
Okay.
If you've never been asked where you come from, take a step forward.
If you have never had to be worried about your family being stopped and searched, take a step forward.
I am worried about people who have been stopped and searched.
The divide widens and the inequality of their position becomes clear.
This is just like not fair now.
The last question. If your parents have ever warned you about racism, take a step backwards.
If we were about to start a race, is this a fair starting point for us all?
No.
Makai, how do you feel standing there in the field of runners?
kind of feel a bit alone. I can't really see. I'm literally just by myself, more or less. I'm just a bit frustrated and annoyed that society nowadays really isn't fair. And I just wish everybody could be equal.
Farah! It's kind of frustrating that, like, me and Sarah are just standing at the back here while the majority of people who may be white are, like, standing right at the front. That just frustrates me a bit, because it's almost as in what society is today. I don't want this to be how it is, but it is, so it just gets a bit frustrating.
Henry, how are you feeling being right at the very front?
It feels quite weird, because if you think about it, I think all of us should be at the same point, but sadly the questions, the way that they were put, didn't favour some people, which I think is quite unfair.
So what we're seeing is this wheel of power and privilege in that activity, where we are positioned in this wheel, whether it's the center, most attributes in the power position, or as you can see, it's labeled marginalized as you get farther to the outside. So it's interesting to just look at this and determine where you sit in the power and privilege wheel. And that position is going to affect how we see the world and the assumptions we make about where other people sit in this power and privilege wheel. So I just want you to take a moment and reflect and ask yourself these questions. How did this make you feel? Were you uncomfortable in your body at any point during this presentation? What assumptions did you make? Did you think that this presentation was relevant? Or did you think it was a waste of time? Did you learn anything about your own unearned advantages or disadvantages? So in conclusion for me, I would say that our Public Arts Commission can commit to Ashland's goal of racial equity and social justice. That's part of why we're having this presentation today. We can work on accepting our own individual power, privilege, and biases to achieve the goal, learn about the what, how, and why of diversity, equity, and inclusion, explore what other communities and commissions are doing for inspiration and guidance, improve our current policies to enhance the Public Arts Commission ability to achieve the goal, and acknowledge and combat injustice through the power of public art. There are several more slides in this, and I'm just going to flip through them, but not really refer to them. So the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture, to me, are exemplifying all of everything that we could possibly be wanting to do, they are already doing, and tenfold, they're amazing, and exploring their website is so inspiring. So I encourage you to do that. I dropped in several links to specific pages here. They very directly acknowledge that there is a race problem in visual arts, and they even assert that the Washington Post reported by some research they had done that a majority, 77.6% of artists making a living from their work are white. Our current goals were written in 2007. Our purpose and mission statement were also written in 2007. So I think referring back to those and seeing what we can do to now enhance our mission of creating equity through the power of public art, it would be a very helpful thing. And then I did drop in here more videos that are all very brief and all very helpful in educating ourselves individually. I also have key terms in here, and I just want to invite anyone at any point who wants to talk outside of these meetings or ever has questions or wants more resources or information to reach out to me directly. And I'm so grateful that you all allowed me to spend the time today on this presentation. So thank you so much.
Cassie, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. That was a flying run over a great deal of material, but it has opened a lot of questions and I think given us a lot of food for thought. There are clearly some action items that we can follow over time. Other comments?
Thank you, Cassie. That was really thorough and really articulate. I really appreciate you putting that together.
Thank you.
Quick question. If we want to access that, where will that be?
I will send it to you. What I might have to do is put it in a Google Drive and then share that with everyone. But I would love to have everybody have access to that because there's so much there. And like flying through that in 15 minutes, I had so much I wanted to say about things we could do. And I just really tried to make it about presenting all that information and not anything about action items really, except, you know, let's refer back and let's start this conversation from here. So
thank you. Jennifer.
Thank you, Cassie. That was amazing. I've been in meetings where we talk about that for 3 days.
That was 3 days worth of content. Yes, it really was.
That was a really terrific assessment. And I'm hoping maybe it can go in the box.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, transferably, if it's doable. And then the other thing is I'd be really curious on people digesting it a little bit and having more of a conversation at some point, or maybe a study session if people desire to really think about the intentions of the PAC in relation to this and moving forward. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
Other comments? I would like to follow up on this and put it on the agenda as a follow-up item once we've had a chance to access and digest all of this material. And going forward, I do think over time I would like to reassess our goals and our public positions that were first done in 2007. So that seems like a big task, but an important one that will take a fair amount of time. Any other comments? I think that's a wonderful lead-in to, and thank you again, Cassie. That was not only overwhelming, but fantastic. I'd like to call on our mayor, Julie. We spoke earlier, she and I and Steph, our council liaison. We had a kind of a 90-minute freewheeling discussion, and out of that has come this topic. And Julie, let me ask you to state your ideas before I turn it over for discussion and question and answers.
Well, sure. I'm just kind of winging it here this morning. So if I don't say something that needs to be said, or if I say something in a way that makes anyone feel at any level uncomfortable, or if I tend to be a little lighthearted and sometimes it gets me in trouble because I think I'm being funny and then the joke lands flat. So if I do anything like that, just feel free to call me on it, and I will do my very best to be a good grown-up and own if I've made a mistake. And to wit, I want to be super clear. When I was talking about vandalism, I wasn't comparing what happened with the ball, the glass ball, and what happened in the park as being the same thing. They're only the same in the way that they were both acts of vandalism. I understand the motivation and intention were not the same. So I'm not comparing it that way. I was merely just saying it's going to happen, and we just need to be prepared and move forward. You know, I talked to the police about the vandalism. They are investigating. It was the same purple paint they think that was used in both instances. And, but typically the police don't want a lot of hullabaloo around crimes because they don't want people to feel as if what they did, they don't want this huge public forum for folks who are doing hateful things, because that's sort of the point of doing a hateful thing like that in a public display. So my response was to honor that and not try to get in front of it and talk a lot about it. I also think, given the tint of my skin, it would have been somewhat inappropriate for me to get up and go on and on about it. Irene Kai made some really important statements about it, and I think that she gets the last word, and I respect and honor her for her feelings around it. So that's what I have there. So I hope nobody misunderstood me, but if you did, I hope I've clarified. I thank Cassie for her comments. And I think it's, you know, I this last week I've had numerous meetings with folks, and I got to tell you, you know, our work is super not done. I mean, I'm hearing from people a great deal of fatigue around the subject of racial equity and social justice. And I'm hearing that I think there might be some shame happening. And I think Robin DiAngelo in her book, White Fragility, talks about that a lot. And she says, you know, there's no need to feel shame. You're born who you are. You didn't choose that. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't even choose your privilege. You didn't wake up and grab those tools. You know, if you had $1,400 and someone else had three, you didn't notice that they only had $300. You just had $1,400 and bought $1,400 worth of privilege. And then you went on your merry way before probably you even were conscious enough to do that. So I think it's really important for folks not to feel shame, but more a sense of excitement, more a sense of opportunity. Like, hey, wouldn't this be cool if we could, kind of like the original idea that I bought into, that probably all of us bought into, around that great piece of public art in New York City that says, you know, we're all going to come together, all of us who yearn to breathe freely. And I think we kind of, I certainly bought that. I was like, yay, the melting pot, all this great culture, all this wonderful food from all different places, all this sort of art and literature. Isn't it fantastic? And I think we can get back to feeling that rather than this a sense of dread that I think some of us feel, certainly that I think people of color are fatigued as well with just the fact that we're still having these conversations. And I think we all know in this group that we're the ones to solve it. As my buddy Gina says all the time, if it was up to Black folks to solve racism, it'd be done a long time ago. So we know it's us, and we know we have work to do. And public art plays a role in that, as we've discussed, right? And I feel a little silly being the guy talking here about public art to people who know much more about it than I do. But I want to talk about it in the way of supporting your work. And let you know that I support your work and that I honor what you do. And I'm pleased to be here just to tell my own little stories about it. I, you know, I think about art and I think about the different ways that different communities express it. I think about when you when you're in Dublin and you walk down O'Connell Street and you're overwhelmed, right? It's just like everywhere. One piece of art after another. And a lot of it is very revolutionary, right? They're honoring the people who fought the British from the beginning to present day. And that expresses the culture of Dublin. And, you know, and then you go to San Francisco and it's got all this whimsical art. And I can't help but, you know, love that. I love the steps on 16th Street. Have you guys seen it with all of the color? And it's like it represents all the seasons. It's got like spring, you know, on one side with all the flowers. And then it's, I'm looking at it right now on my phone. It's like so beautiful, right? And you see all of this color and it's just, there it is. And you can walk up and down the stairs. So it's like this useful and constant art installation that just brings joy. That's the only reason. It just makes you happy. And I really, really support that concept of usable art. That's just sort of casually there, you know, and you cast your eye toward it and you feel something immediately and differently than you might have felt before you got there. I think about our plaza and I think about it being sort of the first place that you come and you get a sense of what Ashland is about. And I think about how that was made, right? I was just hearing this story the other day at the Historic Commission that this wasn't even really a necessarily a big plan thing. You know, there was no RFP and, you know, numerous council meetings discussing the plaza. There's just some guys who said, you know, let's do this thing. And since that time, we've updated it, sort of giving a nod to Stanley's discussion earlier about sometimes people just do stuff and it does work. And I look at it now and I wish we could do more with it from an art standpoint. I'm just going to say that. I think there's things that have been done. You know, we've got the tile work there that's pretty and could be a little more colorful, in my opinion, but everyone gets to have an opinion. It's still very pretty and it's there. I wish there was some way we could maybe consider doing something there that honors the original name, which Kwakaka, which means where the crow lights. And I think about a crow maybe or something, but that's in my mind. I'm not on the Arts Commission. I just think of that. And I think about how Ashland could, through its art, express who we are as a community. And maybe that needs to be a dialogue. Who are we as a community? Maybe we need to have that with our community. Maybe the Arts Commission could hold an open house and ask people that question, who are we and how would we best reflect that through our art? Because everybody who lives here may have a different view of who we are. Who I think we are is a community of caring people who, I described it once to someone saying, Ashland is the kind of place when you say you're hungry, you'll have tin casseroles on your front porch within 10 minutes. That's what I think Ashland is. I also think it's a place nestled in the Pacific Northwest, very defined by its geography, very defined by its topography, very defined by the fact that we're a biodiversity hotspot and that every year we are blessed. They go through the mountains, so we don't see them like you would in Pacific Grove, but we're blessed to be on the Monarch Flyway. And there are people from the Xerces Society who count every butterfly with great care. We're that place. We're on the Pacific Crest Trail, and we welcome the through hikers. We're that place. So those are just some things off the top of my head, and I would love to see those things reflected in our art and in the way that we dress our place up and get it ready for visitors, but also ready for those of us who live here and who appreciate our place in the community. I think of the pop-up art, like I live in Midtown, and there's a house about maybe a street up and half a block down, and it's painted in a rainbow flag, and that's art. Every time I pass it, I get a kick out of it. There are all the little boxes that are the pop-up free libraries, and they're very artfully done. There are the streets where people paint the streets and take great care to make a message about where they live, and that's art. So yeah, I guess I'm just encouraging you to continue on in incorporating the history of the place, the current place as it exists, to continue on in maybe widely defining art and in increasing that sense of through wide definition, the idea that art is fine art, absolutely, but art is also dance and art is also poetry. And art is writing, and art is music. And I don't think it's wrong for this commission to sponsor things like that as well, and to speak to the community in that way. You know, I'm deeply engaged in a kind of a, maybe it seems silly, but deeply engaged in trying to bring music back to the band shell. I just love sitting in the grass and listening to my fellow residents perform. It's just the happiest thing. And we did a thing in May on May Day with Craig Wright. And it was just, I don't know. You know, it wasn't like a huge deal, and I'm not all braggy and proud. It wasn't me anyway. It was just an idea, and the community did it. I just happened to get to sit there. And I was sitting in my folding chair with a smile on my face thinking, if a meteor struck right now and it was the last minute I had, it'd be really well spent. So, you know, that's art. And so that's it. I'm just here to say that and then answer any questions. Did I do okay?
You did wonderfully. Thank you. Okay. You gave us a lot of food for thought, Julie. Thank you so much.
Okay. Sure.
Let me open the floor to other expressions. Stanley.
Yeah. I think that, thank you, Julie. That was great. I think you hit on a number of really important things, one of which is the broadness of what public art is. I mean, there is a lot of political public art, and I understand the desire to have that. Let's keep in mind that those Confederate statues are public art too. So you've got to sort of realize that if you put up a piece of political public art, there's always going to be, you are creating sides. The other end of that spectrum is, something like Claes Oldenburg's giant eraser in Central Park. I think that's where it is. It's just a beautiful, funny thing that it is not making a statement other than, let's put a spotlight on this ordinary object by making it huge. And everybody loves that sculpture, and it's funny and thought-provoking, interesting. It's not abstract. So I think when we decide what to do going forward, there are so many options. The limitation we have, I think, is budget. And I think, Julie, you hit on a really interesting idea, and that is that we should be supporting other things besides just big sculptures for public art. And also, I think we need to figure out ways to do that without a lot of money. We've got to figure out projects and things like this First Friday program that we've been trying out. That doesn't cost us anything really, other than a little bit of time. So, I'm rambling a bit, but that's my two cents.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, it's a lot of, we're in this whole budget thing, we're not going to come out of this budget thing anytime soon. I'm not looking forward to, if I'm honest with you, 2 days of meetings on it next Monday and Tuesday, and there'll be lots of different views about how to cut, and what to keep, and all the things that no one likes talking about. But I agree, and there probably are ways, if we really reach out and get really out there in the community, there are probably ways to garner some more patrons to the arts for ideas too. So,
yeah, just to follow up, I mentioned this before, that cities around that have a ton of public art usually have a benefactor. They have some rich person that says, I'm going to fund this. And they're very good at navigating those projects through the government infrastructure to make them happen. We don't have that here yet.
I was meeting with the guy who owns Blue Marble yesterday, and I almost said, but I would be so out of my lane if I did this, but I thought he could probably put a really cool big old marble somewhere, like a really cute, remember when you played marbles, the big shooting marble?
Yeah.
That always was really colorful and giant and glass. I thought that fits his theme and it'd be really fun. Or some other sort of thing like that, like a big old, thing that looks like a game of marbles in a park. But obviously I'd be out of my lane if I suggested that to him, unless you guys tell me to try it, then I will.
Julie, I think your hand was, Jennifer, your hand was up.
I really appreciate everything you said, Julie. And I do plant the seed. I think we're in a really great place to continue the momentum of the hub and the medallions. And I know I envisioned this a couple years ago, but I think it's so doable. It does take planning and hours, but with each of those medallions can be pop-up collaborative family public art experiences, also performative music. It can become sort of festival-like at each of those medallion locations. And I think that those temporary experiential community building events could be really terrific. And we are poised right now to have the first ones be in the ground. And so the planning for that would be really great. And so I totally see your vision being so lovely in that way.
Thank you. Yeah. Let me know how I can support that. I do think that. I think, you know, now that we're back together in person and we can see each other, it's just a whole different thing. And there's a lot of walking wounded after a couple of years. You know, I'll confess to you that when we started seeing each other in public again, I got super self-conscious. I was like, I don't know if I remember how to act. I really did. I was kind of a sad thing. I was like, wow. You know, I just was like going, I don't know if I remember how to speak. I don't, you know, and then you look at yourself differently because all you've been wearing is sweatpants and your hair in a ponytail for 2 years. And I went, I got to comb my hair again. Shoot. You know, it just, so being together and forgive my reference here, but being together and loving each other, warts and all, is huge. And this commission can bring us together in a really sweet way, as you're talking about. So let me know how I can support that. I'm all in.
Other comments? Julia, thank you so much for joining us in this first of our commission year meetings. It's very timely, and you've plowed a lot of ground for us to think about and respond to, and to open up our minds to what is our place. I think the idea of some forum that allows the public to help us define who we are. I spent some time as an old realtor. Well, I am old. And staging is what comes to mind. As we stage a house for the market, public art is one of the vehicles for staging our community for ourselves, for education, and for our tourists. And it is a statement of our culture because it reflects who we are, all of our warts, all of our fine qualities. And we have many of both, no doubt. So thank you once again. Really appreciate your spending the time with us and your leadership.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here. And I think this is a great commission. Don't tell anyone, it's kind of my favorite. But I definitely look forward to seeing what you guys are going to come up with. And I hope you just know you have a friend in me, and anything I can do to be helpful, I'm here to do that. And I do believe that you are the best of us. And I thank you for your work.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
May all beings be happy. See you guys later. Bye.
Any other thoughts to add to that? There's a lot of material with Cassie's presentation and Julie's altruistic views of our Public Art Commission. Excuse me. So I'd like to move the next agenda item is Jennifer to say a few words about our First Friday Art Talks.
Well, it was a lovely success. At least I think so. I think it has a lot of room to grow. I stood at the Nourishing Our Community sculpture, and Ken stood at the beautiful bronze on the main route. We missed Cassie, but Cassie is so enthusiastic. We look forward to seeing Cassie in the future. I think I had a total of 9 people who intentionally stopped to hear my spiel. And it was lovely. It thankfully, we had the information. You know, I had a lovely article provided by Peter that gave me all the information I really felt like I needed to talk about the work. And I had the people walk around it and give me ideas. And it was really quite nice. Some things it opened up my mind to was when I looked at the work, that there was no plaque there. It had been stolen. And so people were like, where's the plaque? Why do we not know this information? So that was a faux pas on our part. Sometimes I wonder, sorry, cat. Sometimes I wonder if we need to maybe take a walk around as a commission and look at all the work and see how it's looking. So that was, you know, we don't do it. And so then you walk by and you're like, oh. The other thing that was really disheartening for me was the amount of weeds around it. It was really not a very attractive corner. So these are the things that I experienced personally and was a bit embarrassed by. So I think a good public arts commission tour to look at our works might be great. I don't think I've never done that with a commission, and I recommend that. And just to see what needs to be fixed, repaired, how it can be better managed. But otherwise, it was great to talk to people. And I think with it happening more often and maybe more advertising, people will stop in. Sorry, Mike.
Yes, animals run our lives sometimes. I just would add my two cents. I had a really fantastic time at Street Scene. Just to pass on one unique experience, and I'm sorry I've forgotten the name, but the first couple that came had been in Ashland since the 70s. And I asked the question, does anyone know Miriam Young, the artist? The gentleman said, yes, I'm the person who created the ceramic tiles that all the contributors were allowed to place all around that. So I have worked with this artist to create this. And he just brought, I mean, it was like the artist was there. So it was really cool. It was damp, as Jennifer will attest. So we got a little wet, but then the clouds went by. So it was really a good beginning. And Cassie, thank you so much for initiating this. We'll look forward to more of these and volunteers. Let's move on to the next item, unless there's other comment. And we need to vote on the wording for the Golden Connections plaque. Each of you was provided that in the agenda as an addendum or an attachment. I don't know if, Johanna, you can put those words on the screen for us.
Yes, one second. Let me pull it
up. Oh, sure. I should have thought of that. While she's doing that, did everyone have a chance to look those over? And if so, any other comments beside what was provided? I know Joel is waiting for those words so he can move forward on getting a quote for the production of the plaque. Aaron, did you have any thoughts while we're looking for the wording? Here it comes. So I'm going to read this just so that everyone hears it and sees it at the same time. Golden Connections by Jennifer Corio and Dave Fry. This sculpture, Golden Connections, represents a unification of various parts of Ashland that come from the historic origins of the city. Golden Connections occupies one of four central hubs that recognizes the unique history of Ashland and helped put it on the map. Its placement in the Ashland Railroad District serves as a historic marker and wayfinding project to provide a connection to the history of Ashland on today's landscape. Accompanying the sculpture are medallions inlaid through the railroad district that commemorate historic sites of Ashland. The artist explained, quote, the Golden Connections merge a trio of powerful symbols to tell the story of how the railroad spurred a huge transformation in Ashland when in 1887, the Southern Pacific chose the town as a main stop between their Portland-San Francisco line and a full-service maintenance yard, as well as an offering of gratitude and forgiveness to the Chinese workers who worked under difficult conditions to build these tracks, end quote. Any comments or observations? All in favor of these words for that plaque? Oh, please raise your hand. Anybody not voting? That all who have other thoughts? I believe the motion passes, so these are the words for the plaque. Wonderful.
I just have one question. Is the ellipses after maintenance yard intended?
I believe that is intended. Joel, you might want to comment, but I think that where this quote comes from is the artist's statement, and it's not their full statement.
That's understood.
Yeah. So, great.
I'll just say I'm not voting because I feel like the quote is awkward. And I'll just state, and it's fine. I want you to move forward, but I feel as though it's a second sort of a, by the way, this last thing after the ellipses seems really awkward to me. I wanted to add that, and I don't want to have a big, huge discussion, but it's feeling like I'm just not sure how it will impact the Chinese community the way it's worded. And I know it's coming from a quote, but because it's connecting two comments with an ellipses, it's a little strange. I just wanted to say that. And I'm not voting yes or no on this statement.
All right, abstain. Thank you so much, Jennifer. That's a very observant commentary and expresses some of the nuance. Any other thoughts? All right, I'd like to move on. The funding for the plaque and fabrication. Aaron, did you want to add anything at this point?
Just that I asked for sufficient funds that I'm not concerned that whatever the quote comes in, we'll be able to get that check request done and get it taken care of.
All right, excellent. And Joel, I know you'll be moving to Tuck with your fabricator. Do you think we might have that by the next meeting?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, from my understanding, you could work with Johanna and Aaron once you have those numbers, and that process should move forward.
To get payment to the fabricator, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so to be clear, nothing should be fabricated until I've gotten a quote and issued a PO and gotten a check request. But the next step in the process is we need a quote so that we can open up the PO and get the check request going.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anything on from Public Works on the cleaning of the vandalism, Aaron?
So I reached out to Public Works and he said that because it's in a park, it's the Parks Department has to be the one to do the maintenance. So he's reached out to Parks. I've yet to hear back from them together, but I'll keep you updated as I hear.
I think that's fine. Public art belongs to the city. It happens to be in a park. So I might quibble with that slow shuffle there, but we want it done. I guess that's really what's the point. Okay. The installation of the medallions, how's that going? Aaron, do you have more? Johanna, do you have more?
So I know Dale is still working on it with Public Works. I don't know of any updates since the last time specifically.
Super.
I would just I would just briefly add to that. There's a little push and pull going on about the correct installation method. And, you know, I'm not a concrete expert. Dale has some expertise in concrete. I know he's discussing it with Carl in Public Works. Dale was interested in trying to do a wet set. The instructions from the manufacturer are different. And so it's really in the realm of Public Works because the sidewalk is their facility and they have to make sure that it's installed appropriately. So at this point, we should have a little patience while that continues to work through the process.
Thank you. Please keep reminding us, have patience. That could be a general topic because we want these things done yesterday. I will just mention briefly, I met with Bev Hovenkamp Beverly of the Historic Commission and Dale afterwards. And Dale has created he's created a special tool for the edging. So we had some discussion about that, and I can see why there is some push and pull. But we'll keep posted, and we will try and be patient. I think we might, given the patience and the opportunity, consider the idea that Jennifer mentioned and maybe Julie alluded to, is to have some public event surrounding the installations. I could see some music and continuing community involvement. That brings us to the last item on the agenda. And that is, I had this conversation I just mentioned with Beverly Hovenkamp and Dale Shostrom regarding the ideas embraced in moving forward on Map 2 and the possibility of additional medallions, as was discussed by the original committee. And Stanley, you might have a recollection here, but just for background, there were themes for each of the historic areas or districts suggested by the committee. And within each theme, there were suggested medallions, up to a dozen for the railroad park. So I'd like to ask the question of the commission, who would be interested in being on a subcommittee to work on Map 2, and who would like to be on a subcommittee to work on the question of additional medallions? So let's see if anyone is interested in working on Map 2. Stanley. You're muted.
Yeah. Let me add to that. Please. Since I was on the original subcommittee for Map 1, I just want everybody to realize that it was quite a bit of work, and it is surprisingly difficult to number one, do the historic research to find images that are going to be part of these medallions. And then to craft the wording on them, and then the design phases. I mean, it's quite a bit. I think that I would love to continue doing it. I cannot. I'm so stretched right now for time. But I want everybody to know that it's not a trivial project. I was completely surprised how much time and back and forth and editing and researching historic photos. And then once you agree on the concept for each medallion, the design phase is long, with a lot of back and forth and revision after revision after revision. I think some of the stuff we learned in the first phase is going to make it a little bit easier. I mean, I think we've got a vendor who really knows what we want now. I think Aaron, we figured out a way to not have to put it out to bid, just because the people that did produce these are so good, and that's what they do. And I think we could probably do that again to continue this project. But anyway, I think I would love to go forward with more.
Thank you very much, Stanley. Just a couple of responses. In meeting with Bev Hovenkamp, Beverly, I need to say her name is Beverly, she said that they had gotten all of the images that Terry Skirbs, I can't say his last name, help me here, and who's the photographer, the historic photographer, Terry
Skibby?
Skibby, yes, thank you. Yes. Anyway, they have recorded all of his images, so that should help.
Yeah.
Secondly, the wording is greatly helped by Peter's involvement, and in speaking with him, he's continues to have an interest. I will be on that subcommittee as one, and it could be that we'll ask for others to be subcommittee. You could check in and do a piece of it, Jennifer.
What is the map to district?
Well, that is the one of the questions. Is I think will be an early question. What considerations for which district would make sense? And Aaron, please.
So, just for historical reference, when this went to council for the first ask, there was multiple different ideas brought forward in terms of a lot of medallions, some medallions, few medallions. And the idea was that it was going to be in the downtown core. And at that presentation at council, where the ask was being made, they said, yes, but by the way, do it in the railroad district. So just know that you could go to council with a proposal. And what they did in that time is they said they gave the approval, but they changed districts. So I just say that to be aware of it. It would be great to have an idea of what you're wanting to do, but also realize that council may give you different direction when you come forward with the ask.
And in that connection, one of the additional questions would be, how is this funded? Obviously, Historic Commission, well, I think you know that Historic Commission does not receive funding, but we do. So there's some tension around that in historically. If we nuanced all of this, Stanley could speak to that. But the funds most likely would either come from a benefactor and or our public art account to draw on this. I could see the idea of having a longer term task group on map two and a shorter term task group working on additional medallions because the pattern has already been established. And Dale seems to think it could go more swiftly just because of the experience of the first go round. Any interest in, go ahead, Cassie.
Well, I'm kind of like putting the whole meeting together in my mind as everyone is talking from start to finish. And we didn't really have an opportunity to debrief or really discuss all the things that I laid out to everybody. But as I'm hearing you, one of the thoughts that I have about Jennifer, I'm feeling a little unsettled from your comment about the plaque and also seeing that as a problematic thing. We don't want to put a plaque there that is not going to feel inclusive to the people who it's supposed to be representing. So I just want to name that. I'm feeling a little uneasy about the approval of that in this moment. And I know we need to keep moving forward. And I think that we have an opportunity looking at the next MAP project to really bring that equity lens in that Jennifer Corio really brought in the acknowledgement of the Chinese railroad workers. I don't think that was part of the original ask. And I think we have this opportunity, even with what Julie was talking about bringing something into the plaza, of bringing something into downtown that might even acknowledge the Crow's Lights at the plaza. So I think there's a big picture to look at in terms of this next project of how do we from the beginning start using that lens of who is not being acknowledged. If we're looking at maybe downtown as a potential site, how can we bring this in really from the forefront and have a discussion about what sort of history do we want to be representing in our public art and who do we want to be seeking out guidance from communities that maybe haven't been represented in our public art and should be. So I guess I'm just like, I'm telling you what my mind is sort of like stirring over here with all these ideas and thoughts, and that I do have a sense of unease about that wording of the plaque. And I had the same thought, Jennifer, and my tasky self that just needed to move it forward didn't even vocalize it. So I appreciate you vocalizing that, because it felt like an afterthought in the way the plaque is written, that it was also acknowledging the Chinese workers. So all of that, I don't know where we go with that, but I'm just sharing. I would really like to spend a little bit of time at some point before going. I'm going to the Social Justice Racial Equity Commission June 2nd to talk about what we're doing to apply an equity lens. And I know I did a presentation, but I don't feel like we've really discussed what that means for us as a commission. So all of that is a lot. I don't really need a response, but I just wanted to drop all of that in there.
Thank you very much, Cassie. I think that's in everyone's mind. You touch on several things. My putting this on the agenda was, one, to get people beginning to think about and grapple with these issues. And two, most importantly, I need signups, because I'm not going to be the only committee person working on this. If that's the case, it will take a long time. So just be thinking about that. I will return to this topic of meeting with the folks from the Historic Commission. They were not able to achieve a quorum at their last meeting. And while this topic was forefront, they need to do that so that they can decide also who will be on their task group. So it's really the beginning of who's going to be carrying the ball. Mm-hmm. And then we will embrace these other items. With regard to the broader vision, Cassie and I spoke about the idea of the equity lens being at least two presentations, this one, and then a second one to follow at a subsequent meeting in which we address how we would embrace these ideas. And there are examples, as she alluded to, from other cities. So, again, I would like, Stanley.
Did you get a sense that there would be somebody from the Historic Commission? Would somebody be willing to serve on the subcommittee?
We did, or I did, yes. Beverly is clearly going to be one. So it would be Beverly and myself. And Dale is, of course, interested in the medallions. The question will come, should we finish the medallions first and then move to map two? Or can we do those concurrently? And so those things need to be addressed. But yes, they have those two people. And I'm pretty sure Peter Finkel will be interested.
Yeah, Peter came to most of our subcommittee meetings on the first round. So I think one question I'm a little unclear on, we originally had up to 10 or 12 medallions for the railroad district. Before we moved on to the second area, I guess the question should be, are we fine with the five we have? And should we move on to the next district, which I think should be downtown in a way. I mean, I like Julie's comment of a hub sculpture there that incorporates an acknowledgement of the original ownership or of the land, and then medallions associated with that hub sculpture. So I guess the question is, are we done with the railroad district and it's time to move on, or do we want to add more to the railroad district?
Thank you. I don't believe we can answer that question just with our committee, our commission. That needs to be interactive with the Historic Commission. Right. And that is the question. Choice one would be move to the medallions completion. Choice two would be to move on to hub two. And choice three would be, can we do those concurrently? And I think it's possible to do them concurrently at this juncture. So anyway, I appreciate those comments. I see we're close to the time. Any other observations on this last topic? We'll keep it in mind, and we will be discussing this further. And as the, excuse me, Jennifer, go ahead.
Say it in 2 seconds. Medallions could be made, they've been made, it's just a matter of making the verbiage. So that seems to me a really big ask for the Historic Commission to get going on verbiage of history. So my vote is that perhaps there's a commission who's, or a committee just working on the verbiage of medallions, and I really would push to keep the momentum and get to the next map. Because I think the city is invested, and I think the idea of the plaza acknowledging the land could be a really vibrant, and looking at the history along with that would be a vibrant next move for the commission, our commission.
Making a note here, and I hope you're getting all this down, Joanna. Excellent. Well, thank you for those expressions of interest. We'll see what the Historic Commission comes up at their next meeting, if they can move forward on this. That is an iterative conversation that we'll be having. I have met, as I mentioned, with Dale and Beverly. Dale is very much of the view that we need to finish the railroad district first. And I think he will articulate that going forward. He also is of the view that it's been done. So now we have the map to do. Map's not the right word. We have the plan to do it. And so with the images that are available, it's the verbiage and the design of each medallion. Well, thank you all for your participation. We will be following up. I think, as most of you know, that we will, let me just finish this one thought, Joel, that we will be hearing a presentation from the Say Their Names folks. We've been working with them, and we're looking forward to that at the June meeting, which is another reason to continue to do this by Zoom at this point. Joel.
Yeah, I just want to follow up with the verbiage for the plaque. Seems like there's people that are uneasy about what it says. So am I moving forward with it, or am I not moving forward with it?
Is there a sentiment that we should revisit this in June, or between now and June, we could have a Aaron?
I don't really care. Our subcommittee has taken so many stabs at that text. If somebody else just wants to write it and send it to me, I sign off on whatever somebody else writes. So that's my vote, is a yes. And if somebody else wants to write it, send it to me, I can get it moving. But if people aren't happy with it, then we shouldn't move forward with it, is my feeling. But me, Ken, and Destiny have taken many stabs at it. So if people don't like it, then they should rewrite it and then send an email chain out to people. And I honestly don't care. So my vote is yes to whatever anybody else writes. But yeah.
Stanley?
I think we have two commissioners who are questioning the verbiage, but my question is, do we really need to wait to the next meeting? Can we resolve this via ping-ponging some emails?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just somebody else write it. There's already a yes from me. And any, you know, I think if people want to send an email version out, we can all just, you know, say yes via email.
Okay, Laura?
I was going to say, I think that's a good idea. We'll take pause and take a, everybody can think about what it is that maybe makes them uncomfortable or not. But I would be happy to start that process with an email and rewrite something. And Joel, thank you so much for all your work. Don't take that as a personal criticism to what you're...
Oh, no, I don't at all. I just want to get it done.
I do too.
Yeah, but, I've only worked on this for like a year, and I just want to get it done.
And so, that being said, that, you know, we've worked so hard on it, you've worked so hard on it, that I don't think it might be short-sighted to push it through just because we've worked on it for so long.
I agree. No, we should do it when people are happy. I don't care. Not just because I want to get it done. We shouldn't, or everybody wants to get it done. We shouldn't just push it through.
Right.
But we've taken a lot of stabs at it, so I'm not upset. I'm happy to pass it off to somebody else because I'm not a writer, and I know that. And I didn't write that particular version, but I've written many versions, and we've had in-person meetings, me, Ken, Destiny, like three of them. We've gone over the words, and we're like, this sounds awesome. And then it's just a lot of people coming together on some text, and so I am happy, not upset. I'm happy to let other people do it because I think – we get the message across. As far as the fine tuning of the words to make sure it's very inclusive, I am admittedly not the best at that, and I'm happy to relinquish that. somebody else is going to do it better than me. I totally support that person. That's all I'm saying. So.
Well, I'll take the torch and take a stab at, making it so that it's everyone's in agreement.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. That's wonderful. And reach out to Jennifer. She had to leave for another meeting, as I think you probably all saw the comment. So my suggestion here is that we take the next week, if that's a reasonable amount of time, and try and come up with some wording. And then we share this in blind carbon copies until we get a consensus on the wording.
And you say in the BCC because of our rules for
correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And for that purpose, then once we have that, I will make some comment that everybody can see, and then we'll convey that to you, Joel, so you can move forward. I don't think another week here, given the time we've expended, is in order.
No, we're close. That's why we can get it going. We don't need to wait till the next meeting. I think people should be happy about it, not just go forward because we got to get it going. But we do got to get it going, I feel like. So, right. Aaron, what happens if we do break that email rule?
We get in trouble with Aaron.
Yeah, I'm not an attorney. I mean,
burst into flames.
Technically, it would be a violation of public meeting law. It is difficult because I'm not an attorney. I just know that you're not supposed to be making a decision in that forum. So I trust we'll get through this.
I think so. All right.
Awesome.
We'll have some humor. And Laura, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. That will really bring us forward. Unless there's other comments, I'd like to bring the meeting to a close. But I just want to say that Jennifer has been such a great leader. And my wish is that we all maintain just what we've experienced today, that collegiality and contribution from everybody. That's really what we're about. Secondly, I want to welcome Johanna and thank you very much. And once again, express our appreciation, Aaron, for all that you've contributed. And we're going to continue to, call on you.
Appreciate that.
He's like, don't, please don't. I'll be really busy with other stuff. Please don't call me.
Yeah, and forget my number. I'm changing it. Just a quick comment. In my meetings with Aaron and Johanna early on, and correct me here, Aaron said that they are allowed to have 10% of their total time invested in not one but two commissions. And so that would be roughly 8 hours in a month. And the meeting itself is certainly two or three of those. So do continue to run items through the chair so that we can facilitate that. Anyway, thank you all for your rapt attention this morning. And I really look forward. I'm very enthusiastic about the conversations that we've begun today.
And thank you, Ken, for stepping up to be our leader. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Now without pregame jitters. All right. We'll see you all next time and online.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Take care.